It can happen at 8 weeks. It can happen at 8 months. It can happen at a year. So don't think like, oh, at 6 weeks, I'm good to go. Yeah, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, 7 months later, you know, and you're thinking, well, you know, I shouldn't be feeling like this now. I'm way past the postpartum period, you know, which is people don't seem to get like postpartum period lasts more than 6 weeks.
That is OBGYN Dr. Meadland Charles, who prides herself on teaching her patients and giving them the tools to help them take care of themselves. Today, we're going to be talking about what to expect physically and mentally during immediate postpartum and some red flags you should definitely contact your care provider about. You're listening to Birthful, here to inform your intuition. Welcome, Dr. Charles. It is wonderful having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm very happy to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you identify?
I am a board-certified OBGYN, and I've been in practice now since private practice in 2005. So, yeah, oh Lord, that makes me really old. But yes, I don't look old though.
You don't. And I've been a doula for 14 years, so a little less, but close to that too, right? Feeling old.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought today we would talk about what people can expect during those early days postpartum and, you know, physically and emotionally. So from the moment that they give birth until that first week or 2 weeks or so, few weeks, what can people expect?
Happiness. You know, seriously, I mean, you're very happy. You spent pretty much 9 months, you know, waiting to have this baby. And all of a sudden you have a baby in your arms. And when everything, you know, happens well without any complications, it even makes my heart sing. And the parents are happy. The nurses are happy. And when you have a beautiful delivery, and sometimes I even cry because it's so wonderful. Obviously, there are going to be emotional changes as well, too, because sometimes like you look at your baby and you have this overwhelming feeling of love as well, too. You start crying and shaking because you never thought that you would have this amount of love for somebody before, even though you thought you would. But like when the baby comes out, it's an amazing feeling. Of course, there's the tiredness and other things as well, too. But usually that's the most important thing that happens right after you deliver.
And I want to normalize that not everybody feels that overwhelming joy upon meeting their baby, that sometimes they can take, depending on the birth, depending on how tired you are, depending on what your hormones are doing at that moment, it can take a little bit. It can take even days or weeks to get to a point where, or more, to get to a point where you're like, oh, I love you so much. Like it might be okay, you're now in my life and I got to figure out who you are.
Right, exactly.
And what can people expect during those first few days postpartum physically?
Physically, you know, initially when you have the baby, sometimes, you know, moms are very, surprised that their belly still feels big, even though technically you've had the baby, but your belly has been over-distended for a long period of time. So it feels like you're still, it looks like you're still pregnant. And it takes a while for your body physiology to go back to normal. So that's one of the things that you can expect. Sometimes patients will also feel like after pains or cramping when they're breastfeeding. And usually that's secondary to the fact that they're releasing oxytocin, their own body's releasing oxytocin whenever the baby is suckling. And that helps the uterus or the womb to go back down to normal size within the first couple of weeks after delivery as well, too. So they can cause them to have severe cramping and pain. And it usually tends to basically be worse with each subsequent pregnancies. So also too, patients can have discomfort or they can get very swollen. So if you were pushing for a while, you know, and you had a laceration, depending on the patient, their perineum or their vulva can be very, very swollen. And they tend to have to use an ice pack or cold compress for at least the first 24 hours or so to really help out, as well as the discomfort from any kind of like laceration repair or anything like that. Or you can also use some sitz baths as well too, maybe up to like within 1 or 3 inches of water for about 3 times a day to help out.
And that would be warm water.
Warm water, right.
And I think that's really great. Let's point out, like some people I know love that ice pack right after birth, love that ice pack. But I think it's important to note that it's better during that immediate 24 hours and then to promote blood flow, you want to maybe switch to warmer things like these sit baths that you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
I've been telling you about Charlie Banana reusable cloth diapers for a while now, but I want to remind you that because you are my listeners, you can get an unheard of 31% off your first order when you go to my special URL. That's 31% off the softest cloth diapers. And I know cloth diapering might sound overwhelming, but honestly, Charlie Banana makes it so easy. With cloth diapering, it's not all or nothing. You can start using Charlie Banana one-size cloth diapers on the weekends or just at night. You could literally start with just one diaper. Once you try Charlie Banana, you're going to love them. But if you don't, they have a great money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Take advantage of my superb offer and order Charlie Banana reusable cloth diapers today. Make sure you get 31% off your first purchase. Go now to charliebanana.com/birthful and use promo code birthful at checkout. This is a limited time deal, so don't wait. Order now at charliebanana.com/birthful and enter promo code birthful. Dr. Charles, let's talk a little bit, because I know this is a big fear and a big concern of a lot of people, of the vaginal tears.
Okay, so it's not unusual for that to happen, especially for first-time moms. Nowadays, most OBGYNs will tend to stay away from episiotomies because sometimes you don't really know necessarily which patient is going to tear, which patient is not going to tear. So, you know, my personal way of practicing is I don't routinely do episiotomies. And I think most physicians basically don't tend to do that. We usually tend to do an episiotomy, for example, for patients who have certain criteria. For example, if we want to get the baby out sooner rather than later, if we have like a baby in distress. But other than that, once you actually have the repair, usually we use stitches that tends to dissolve, and they will tend to dissolve by themselves within about anywhere from like 3 to 6 weeks. And sometimes what happens, depending on exactly where you might have had like the first degree laceration, which is the one where it's very superficial. And if it's hemostatic and it's not bleeding, depending on exactly where it is, the provider may decide not to actually put any stitches in, but it might still feel a little bit raw. So every time you urinate, you might feel burning because the urine is very acidic. So every time you pee, it stings a little bit. So that's where your peri bottle would actually be very helpful. So, you know, you use it every time you go to the bathroom to pee, it dilutes the urine so it doesn't sting and burn whenever you actually go to the bathroom to pee.
Yeah, and I think that's a great thing for people to use, no matter if they have superficial abrasions or tears, if there is something that needed to be repaired, like, and you're feeling stinging when you pee, then using this peri bottle to spray before you go or after you go, to, and then slightly just tap to dry can make things easier. What about, we're talking all the fun topics here today. What about hemorrhoids?
Oh, hemorrhoids. Yay. You know, that's the unfortunate stuff. You know, hemorrhoids, it's very common, unfortunately. So again, exactly the same thing. We will give you the cold packs, actually will work really well. The witch hazel packs, the tuck pads that they give you also at the hospital will also work really well as well. And then the most important thing is to not be constipated. Okay. So the first thing I tell my moms is to make sure that they change their diet. One of the best ways to do that is making sure by you drinking up tons of water, you tend to eat green leafy vegetables, whole grains. You definitely need to be doing all of those things to prevent constipation. Either use fiber, prune juice, stool softener, any of those things to actually make sure that you can actually take care of the hemorrhoids as well too. And that's really helpful.
Mm. And at the hospital, they really want to make sure you have a bowel movement before you're released or at the beginning, you know, those first few days. And that can be such a scary preposition for new moms, depending on the tear they had or how swollen they are.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they make themselves constipated because they hold it in, because they think like if they push too much, it's going to actually break the stitches. And it doesn't, because, you know, the stitches are pretty strong, pretty much.
Dr. Charles, in terms of what that time in the maternity floor, sort of after being in labor and delivery, moving to the postpartum area, what will that look like? What checkups can people expect for themselves?
We monitor the mom normally on the labor and delivery room for the first 2 hours to make sure that they're not having like any bleeding. We check their blood pressure, We make sure that their fundus, which is the top of the uterus, is, you know, is staying firm. And after that, they bring you into your room. And then the nurses continue to monitor and do checks, checking your blood pressure, checking your bleeding to make sure that everything is normal. And the nurses will basically follow. We'll have a lactation consultant that is in-house, and they come in, they help you. With the vaginal delivery, usually you'll tend to stay in the hospital for at least 2 nights. But if you're a mom who's like, this is your second, your third, your fourth baby, if your baby is completely stable without any issues, any problems, we require the baby to stay in-house for at least 24 hours. And then if everything is okay, after 24 hours, everything's stable, we've checked your blood count to make sure that you're not anemic, you're stable, your vitals are fine. Usually patients will go home after vaginal delivery after 24 hours, mm-hmm. you know, which is great. And that's for a vaginal delivery.
And if people had a cesarean, how does this change, this immediate postpartum change? What can they expect?
With a C-section, usually our patients will stay in-house for at least, again, 3 nights. And again, if it's somebody who's had like a surgery before, sometimes they may go home like after 2 nights because, you know, they're used to it and they're doing great without any issues. They're, you know, having a bowel movement, they're eating well, they have no complications, no issues or anything like that. And they'll see us in a couple of weeks after.
So let's say, regardless if it was 2 days that they stayed in the hospital, 3 days, that when they finally get home, what are some things that they can expect in terms of their recovery? And what are things to watch out for?
Okay. Usually when I tell my patients to go home, these are the things that I tell them to think about. The bleeding usually is heaviest, or what we call lochia, pretty much, is heaviest the first couple of days after delivery. And then it would be, you know, reddish and then pinkish and then whitish, you know, yellow and then whitish yellow up to about 6 weeks or so. About 15% of patients or moms will continue on having discharge beyond 6 weeks, but most people will usually tend to stop by like 6 weeks or so. However, about 10 to 14 days, about 2 weeks after they've delivered, the bleeding that was like very light spotting, you know, on day, you know, 9, 10, might get a little bit heavier with blood clots for a couple of days or so. And invariably, people will think, oh, there's something wrong. Somebody like, you know, their dog jumped on their belly or they went to the grocery store, a kid push the cart onto their belly or something like that. But it's usually the scar of the placenta that's shedding, okay? So as long as a mom is not soaking like one pad, you know, completely soaked greater than one pad per hour for over 2 hours, they should totally be okay. That's the first thing. Also, symptoms of breast infections. So usually that will be associated with some redness and some areas of, you know, that would be very hard and what we call indurated on the upper outer corners of their breast, which is the areas that is most difficult to actually remove the milk from. And they will also associated with chills as well too. And they'll have temperatures, very high temperatures. So, you know, those are the symptoms that they need to actually give us a call about so that we can actually get that treated. If for some reason you have foul smelling vaginal discharge, if you have like severe belly pain that's unrelieved by over-the-counter pain medication, it could be a symptoms of like an infection in the uterus or the womb. So you definitely need to give us a call. If for some reason you're having, you know, swelling of your feet, it's not unusual to have that as you leave the hospital, to have really swollen legs, but you shouldn't have one more swollen than the other. And you shouldn't have like pain behind your calves, etc., because then that could be a symptom of a blood clot. And that's something that you kind of like need to be worried about. So those are the things that I tell patients. Also, postpartum blues, because there are some moms who, you know, they're crying all the time. They are tired and they have what we call postpartum blues. And postpartum blues are completely common. Okay. And it's totally normal. And, you know, moms need to know that there's nothing wrong if they feel like that, you know, and usually that doesn't last no more than about 2 weeks. Usually by 2 weeks, it should start subsiding. But if after 2 weeks, for example, you're still having issues, usually then that can start becoming symptoms of postpartum depression. And that's when it's important to basically make sure that you call your pediatrician, you call your midwife, you call your doctor to make sure that they understand that there is something going on. And sometimes one of the things that I tell patients, which is very important, is that postpartum depression is not necessarily up to the 6-week mark. It can happen at 8 weeks. It can happen at 8 months. It can happen at a year. So don't think like, oh, at 6 weeks, I'm good to go. Yay, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, 7 months later, you know, and you're thinking, well, you know, I shouldn't be feeling like this now. I'm way past the postpartum period, you know, which it's people don't seem to get like postpartum period lasts more than 6 weeks.
Oh, no, it's years. It's years. And I think it's important to know also that dads or other partners can also get postpartum depression.
Yes, they can. They can. And, you know, people don't talk about it. And also to if they had a traumatic delivery, you know, they feel powerless. Like, you know, there was like an emergency cesarean section. You know, they were very scared for their baby's life, for their partner's life, you know? And what it is like we have to try to erase the stigma. I had a patient recently, she's still pregnant and she had issues dealing with the pregnancy, but she couldn't tell her husband because he didn't believe in therapy. I'm worried about her for when she goes home. Because if she has any issues, she doesn't have anybody else to help her, you know, and it's important to talk about it and to not feel ashamed about exactly what is going on in your life, you know. So that's very, very important.
Absolutely. What are some concerns? What are some of the symptoms of, say, postpartum preeclampsia? Because I know that is also something that doesn't get talked about much.
Mm-hmm. Right. So postpartum preeclampsia, here's what we tell patients. So if for some reason, the swelling, again, it's very non-specific, meaning like you can totally have swelling with a normal patient. But let's say, for example, you had elevated blood pressures during the pregnancy, and then you also had elevated blood pressures during the prenatal care. These are the things that you will also, if all of a sudden you are gaining weight, you know, and your swelling is even worse, okay, after you deliver. And you're noticing also that you're having severe headache, okay, and you're taking Tylenol and it's not going away. If you're noticing that you're having spots or blurred vision, okay, that is not normal. If for some reason you're having seizures at home, those things are not normal. Hopefully it will not get to the point of seizures. But a lot of times, you know, you're tired. You're thinking, oh, it's because I'm tired. I have a newborn at home. I'm not sleeping. That's the reason why I'm having a headache. A headache, you know, postpartum is not something that you kind of like poo-poo, you know. You definitely need to call your provider because we want to make sure that we see you, that we check your blood pressure, because it could be symptoms of postpartum, you know, preeclampsia or ataxemia. And that's very, very important.
And another thing that I think can be a red flag or something to be aware of during postpartum is having a retained placenta. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Okay. So retained placenta is actually one of the causes of postpartum hemorrhage or bleeding after delivery. So usually after a patient deliver, I always check to make sure that the placenta is intact. Okay. So you can have like a retained placenta either right after delivery, because you have 30 minutes to deliver the placenta after the baby is delivered. If for some reason the placenta does not deliver, then we have to do maneuvers to actually, you know, remove it. And then you have to make sure also to, after you do that, that there are no pieces left inside. You inspect the placenta, and sometimes you may end up having to do an ultrasound. But sometimes, again, if you end up going home and you're having bleeding that is very, very heavy, you know, again, more than one pad per hour for over 2 hours and it's not subsiding, you know, that could be, you may have what we call retained products of conception in there or within parts of the placenta, and you need to call your doctor. And that's very easy to do. They'll do an ultrasound, a sonogram, and they will be able to actually see something and then be able to take care of it.
Yeah, because that can be very confusing for the body, going like, I have a baby out here and I'm breastfeeding, you know, if people are breastfeeding, but the placenta pieces are giving the body the signal that you're still pregnant, and then they could create infections. And yeah.
Right, exactly.
What about incontinence and organ prolapse and like some bigger issues?
So these are the issues that people don't talk about. So it's not unusual to have what's called stress incontinence, which is leakage where anytime like you cough or you sneeze or you stand up and you're doing jumping jacks. Okay. And imagine you're like a 25-year-old woman and then this is happening. You're not even 90 years old, something. You know, it sucks. and you don't know necessarily how long it's going to last. And let me tell you, it is so common and people don't talk about it. So us OBGYNs and providers have to do a better job of actually asking our patients about that type of information, because sometimes our patients and our moms are very embarrassed to talk about it. So I tell my patients to do Kegel exercises. Okay. So again, initially at the first 6 weeks, if for some reason it doesn't get better, I might give them like maybe like 8 weeks or so. And then after that, I send them to pelvic floor therapy. They take the time, they actually examine you and tell you exactly what to do. And I think we don't use pelvic floor therapists enough, you know, and they are fantastic. Actually, one patient yesterday, I was sending her home. Actually, she asked me about this. She said, with her last baby, how long will she have painful intercourse? And I said, okay, what? How long are we talking about? Okay, maybe at the 6, because a lot of times people talk about to you and they say, at 6 weeks, by the way, is it okay for me to have sex? I said, well, physically you might be normal, but emotionally you may not be ready. You know, so that's another thing. But also too, it may take a while because everybody heals differently. And sometimes you may end up having scar tissue. So a lot of times you may need to get that scar tissue to have some relaxation. And the pelvic floor therapist, they're wonderful at this. So at a year out, you know, 6-9 months out, you really have for something that you shouldn't be having pain just from where you had the repair still, you know? So again, come and talk to your doctor. Do not be embarrassed. Do not worry about, you know, saying, I don't want to talk to my OBGYN about this. If you don't talk to your OBGYN or your midwife about this, who the heck are you going to talk to? Your dentist? Okay. And then we send you to pelvic floor therapy to take care of it, seriously. And they'll know what to do. You know, this is very important.
Absolutely, because penetrative sex should not hurt, period. Done. Yeah.
It should not. And also, there's also some vaginal dryness as well, too, that can occur when you're breastfeeding and you postpartum as well, too, which is not unusual. So sometimes it could be dryness, but if it's literally just at one specific area for where, you know, instead of like the whole vagina, it may be from the scar itself. And then diastasis recti is pretty common. That can occur from like the beginning of like the 35th week of pregnancy up to afterwards. It's not something that I used to do very early on in my career. I only started doing checks on my postpartum patients in the last few years. And there's a way to examine the patients, you know, and to tell them exactly what kind of exercises to do.
And just because we didn't explain what it was, diastasis recti is when the abdominal muscles, the vertical abdominal muscles separate and that fascia is more exposed. And then that's normal because of all the pressures of pregnancy. But if it doesn't come back, then that can create other problems and need some interventions like have a pelvic PT assess it and help you in what to do. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Fantastic. And would you agree that if at any point before, say they're waiting for their 6-week checkup, but if at any point before that, they feel like something is up, I need to talk to my doctor, but I don't want to worry them or I'm not sure, that they should call anyway?
Of course. Let's not even talk about the fact that the 6-week postpartum visit is not enough. Okay. It's plain and simple. I believe like they need to be seen like earlier, technically. We just have tons of other insurances who are not really paying for the visit. Therefore, doctors are not, you know, doing it. But, you know, depending on the patient, I know with our practice, certain patients come in earlier than other patients, but they still need to be seen. So please do not go the Google route. Please don't. Give us a call. This is what we are here for. A phone call with one question, I'll answer it in like literally like a minute or two or even longer. And then I will save you tons of worry and sleepless nights. And we want to hear from you because a lot of times it's nothing, but a lot of times it is something that we need to actually see you for. So always, always, always call your doctor.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be suffering because of it.
No, you should not.
Dr. Charles, thank you so very much for coming on the show today and answering all my questions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was great, actually. It was just like having a conversation.
That was OBGYN Dr. Meadland Charles, who is passionate about helping expecting and new parents navigate the changes associated with the postpartum period and beyond. You can find Dr. Charles on Instagram at Meadland Charles. I hope your main takeaway from our conversation is that even though there are many expected physical and mental changes during postpartum, that does not mean that you have to endure their discomfort or just trudge through them. Postpartum is a time to honor your recovery and replenish your body and mind. Make sure you take as much care of yourself as you do your baby. And if you or your family members feel that there's something not right with your health, then don't delay in reaching out to your care provider. One thing you can do for you is to find a pelvic floor specialist in your area and commit to reaching out for a consult. Do it regardless of how long it's been since you've given birth, and especially if you are currently pregnant, because the tone and balance of your pelvic floor and core play a crucial role in how your baby is positioned and during the pushing stage. Ask your friends for recommendations or use the PT locator on the Academy of Pelvic Health Physical Therapy's website at aptapelvichealth.org. The one thing you can do for the rest of us is to follow and support the work of the Preeclampsia Foundation. Their work recognizes that racial disparities are a fact of maternal health and how they impact health outcomes for Black families. Their Racial Disparities Task Force is working to create recommendations that address these issues as they relate to hypertensive disorders of pregnancy. And you can learn more at preeclampsia.org. Birthful was created by me, Adriana Lozada, and is a production of La Antigua Williams & Co. The show's senior producer is Paulina Velasco, Jen Chien is our executive editor, Cedric Wilson is our lead producer, and Kojin Tashiro mixed this episode. Thank you for listening to and sharing Birthful. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and everywhere you listen. And come back next week for more ways to inform your intuition.